You are listening to a special series of SPU Voices podcasts featuring our music faculty.
Amanda, why are we doing special podcast episodes?
Because of Behold, a Sacred Sounds of Christmas virtual experience coming to your home December 12th. It's a fully produced Christmas special featuring some of our most talented professional alumni musicians.
How can I sign up for that amazing event, Amanda?
At spu.edu/behold.
And Amanda, who can I thank for putting on this event?
Let's thank all of our sponsors, especially US Bank, our presenting sponsor.
Amanda, why is it called Behold?
I am so glad you asked. If you read the Nativity story in the Bible, you will see the word behold quite a few times. Usually it's when an angel of the Lord comes and talks to people and says, stop what you're doing. What I'm about to tell you is going to change your life forever. So we ask that same question to our musicians. Tell us some of your behold moments where God stopped you in your tracks and changed the course of history. And boy, did we get some great answers.
I'm so excited to have beheld this event. Now behold the SPU Voices podcast.
A psalmist in the truest sense of the word, Philip Farrell II has been making music for most of his life, both vocally and as a keyboardist. He began professional training at the age of 12, first studying classical music and ultimately jazz. Eventually, Philip became as fascinated with the technical aspect of creating music as he had been performing it. Consequently, he began working with bands and singers all over the country. He continues to be in demand as a guest worship leader, songwriter, and producer, traveling throughout the country and abroad. Phil, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, let's start with the question of the day. Tell us about your journey into music and how that led you ultimately here to SPU.
Well, journey into music is kind of a lifelong thing. My father has been a singer and choir director, so I grew up in it, hailing from Detroit, Michigan. And so fast forwarding a few years, I had been working in the music industry, really loving it, and I decided I wanted to go back to school. I ended up going to Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. And I knew when I finished school, I was moving to Seattle. I really felt like that was a nice place to have a family and love the terrain and all of those things. So I really felt like God was leading my wife and I to move to Seattle, Washington. About a month and a half before we were finished with school, I got a call from a friend saying that the Seattle Pacific University Gospel Choir and Dr. Stephen Newby were in Boston, and I had to go see them. And it happened to be that he was doing a workshop, Dr. Newby was doing a workshop at a church that was literally maybe a mile and a half from my house. So I jumped in the car and headed over and met Dr. Newby. And I said, hey, I was told I needed to meet you, and I'll be moving to Seattle in about 6 weeks. And he said, wow. He's like, well, let's exchange info and maybe we can meet up. Well, fast forward maybe 3 months, 4 months, I am walking into Staples up north of Seattle, and Dr. Newby is walking out of Staples, and we connected then, and since then we just remain connected with various different ideas and projects, things like that. It was really an honor to kind of connect with him. And so the first real connection to SPU was the recording Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. I believe it was the third volume, but I was a producer on that particular project, and most of the audio was actually recorded in my own studio. And so that was my first connection to SPU. Fast forwarding maybe about a year and a half, I got a call from Bo Lim, and he said, hey, Dr. Newby said I should call you about maybe filling in as the minister of worship as an interim. And so I was able to do that for a little over a half a year, finishing out the school year. And then here more recently, I was called to be the director of the gospel choir and an adjunct professor at Seattle Pacific University. So it is an honor to be a part of that. And so currently I'm teaching an arranging class. I'll be teaching songwriting here next quarter. And then, of course, I'm still doing the gospel choir.
Well, that is a lot to handle. I think most people who make their living in the arts end up doing, you know, multiple things created with that art. And so I see in your background, classical and jazz and church music and worship leader and technical producer. How do you juggle all those balls? How do you do all those things at once?
Well, let me first say my wife is amazing. We have four children, and she pretty much holds down the fort, which gives me the freedom to be able to take care of a lot of those things. My main source of income has been through the church as either a worship pastor or creative director, technical director. I've pretty much done that since I've been able to vote. I have been blessed with lots of opportunities to do lots of other things, but those have always been the addendums. I always think of those as like, you know, they're not on my main plate, they're on my bread plate, you know, the small plate. I get a chance to do a little bit here and there. And so that would be the main way that I've been able to do those things. Currently, I am serving as an artist in resident at Messiah Community Church, which is actually all the way in Baltimore, Maryland. And COVID has allowed us to be able to do a lot of things virtually. And this is one of the big things I've been able to do.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, I'm going to ask you a slightly, possibly strange question.
Okay.
And I will I will relate the question to an experience I had when I was, I'm going to date myself here, but when I was in children's church, and I got to be the ripe old age of 10, and I got the coveted role in service of sitting at the projector and changing the paper,
the lyrics,
you know, that would show the lyrics up on the screen for everyone to follow. And here's the thing, at the ripe old age of 10, I didn't even realize I thought it, but when I realized that it was all planned, that the band knew not just which songs they were going to sing and in which order, but how many times they'd sing through the chorus at the end. Mm-hmm. It was a disillusionment moment for me, because I thought, oh, they're just following the Holy Spirit. This is just all God. And this is so where they just get up there and do it every time. And I realized, oh, it's all planned. And so I just wonder, when you're that deep into the technical aspects of worship, is it still that Holy Spirit led experience for you? Like, how do you balance that very technical, must stay in my intellectual brain the whole time, and really the whole point of worship, which is kind of letting go?
That is a fantastic question. Thank you for asking. So right now, so many of us are heading into the holiday season, and specifically even into Christmas. And so I'm sure that we all have, we've been inspired to do different things. If we talked about a holiday meal, we may be inspired to say, these are the elements that I feel like would make the perfect meal. Now, once we have that inspiration of what we feel like would make the perfect meal, we may still have to go to the recipes and do the planning part of it to actually execute it on time for the meal. So it still can be, and it should be, Holy Spirit led and Holy Spirit inspired. But the inspiration doesn't have to be an instant inspiration, but it can be something that was inspired three weeks before, 3 days before, as the planning was being worked out. I personally tell whatever band I'm working with, this is the plan. I rarely will say that we will only do this thing for a certain amount of choruses, especially in just contemporary church music. Now, obviously in classical music, there is a very specific number of dots and sticks on the page to go for a certain amount of measures. But in jazz and the other genres, there's a little bit more freedom. And so normally I'll say, this is the contour that we want to go, like we want to build up to this point, and then we're going to start bringing it down. So that way they have a general idea of the way we're going to go without necessarily locking into a very specific form as much as we can.
I think there's a bit of a life lesson in there, don't you? I mean, I keep thinking of what Dr. Newby has said multiple times, that you work like you're in control, but you pray like God's in control. And there's that life lesson of you do live your life with space for God to take over, but that doesn't mean you can't plan to the best of your of your ability, right?
Absolutely. And to think about the work that you've done for so many years, I think the first time I was involved with Sacred Sounds is when Dr. Newby had asked me to arrange something for the Worship Arts Ensemble. And that was, I wasn't affiliated with SPU at that time, but then he's like, and I want you to come and conduct it. And I was like, really? Okay. You know, but if I got up there to get ready to do the piece and I said, now, Miss Mann, I just want to let you know that I have no idea how long this is going to go and what parts we're going to do, you probably would look at me with a very fake smile and say, I'm going to kill this guy. This doesn't work. And we're in this huge, you know, facility. And at that time, it was at McCall Hall. It was before we had switched to the orchestra hall. But, you know, we have to have both, you know, and we have to believe that the inspiration will still come. And then we go with the plan so that all the players at that time, what was it, maybe 300 different people that might have been involved in some way, whether that's technical or the actual musicians on stage. We can't just fly by the seat of our pants and expect everybody else to be able to follow that so easily.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad that you have been a part of this for so long, and excited to see this year's Sacred Sounds now that we're able to produce this beautiful Christmas special. And I feel it's really the epitome of what we've just been talking about. It's a lot of planning. And yet it's, as we look back over the planning period, I just so many Holy Spirit moments along the way, working hard and yet letting God work at the same time.
Wow, that's awesome, and I'm so glad to have a part in this. Glad to have led the gospel choir to participating in the large number, O Holy Night. I hope it's okay for me to say that at the very end, which everyone raved about, just being able to be a part of that experience. You know, I think the importance to me of Sacred Sounds is it's kind of the first time, or for me, it's been the like, oh yeah, now it's actually Christmas time. Because traditionally on our schedule, it was like the week of Thanksgiving, you know?
Yep.
And so it was that shift of, oh yeah, it's now. It's actually now, but a relief that it's now, as opposed to like, oh no, I'm not ready. It's like, no, this is great. Christmas for me is the most favorite time for me and in my house. And I think it's, I've just tried to make sure that I posture, Christmas is God coming to us. And my goodness, all the things that we've dealt with in 2020, we need God coming to us. We need a reminder of that is what the season's about. God comes to us. And he came to us to help us, to save us, to bring peace, to bring love, to bring light, like all of those things that we all need. Like I could take go to a buffet and take up, you know, some of all of that in this season. So I'm really looking forward to us being able to hopefully remind the public at large that God came to us and this is our way of expressing that to you.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Phil, I could chat with you all day long, but, we will wrap up with the last question we ask all of our guests. From your unique perspective, if you could have everyone in Seattle do one thing differently tomorrow that would make the world a better place, what would you have us do?
I would have everyone intentionally help someone with something that they do not know. That could be buying a coffee, that could be holding the door extra long and saying, I hope you have a wonderful day, or giving them an amazing compliment, but it has to be someone you don't know. I believe that it would make such a huge impact to the region, and hopefully bring a bright spot in, you know, what has seemed like a bombardment of not so bright news.
Absolutely. I'm going to second that, and I'm going to write it down that I'm going to do it. And what a way to usher in the Christmas season, but really to bring that spirit to everyone around us. And let's end our time together with a prayer of blessing. May the Lord bless you and all you put your hand to. May the Lord be gracious to you and all who hear your story. May he bring unity to our community and peace to us all. Amen.